6, ABC News.
Hi-ho! Latest travel advice from Max Najar, travel agent and industry leader. Max Najar is here, travel industry leader and travel agent, and you used to hear that on 5KA, Max.
Yeah, back in 1973-74. I used to do the album show with Barry Bissell.
Who's Barry Bissell?
Oh, come on. You must know who that was. Don't you know who he was?
No.
He was probably one of Adelaide's top DJs. They used to call them DJs in those days.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Used to do a thing called the album show.
With you?
Yeah, and I used to go there about 11 o'clock at night. I was at high school and used to talk about Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and Free and all that stuff. And he used to have a Q&A and people had to try and catch me out. And I had a really good memory then. And I used to remember birth dates and names of albums and how long the track goes for and stuff like that. You know, so it was fantastic.
Did you have long hair?
Yeah, I had really long hair and I got told off in high school for having a hair in the ponytail at the back. And then I was a prefect and head prefect and they said, you have to cut your hair. So I said, no, I'm not doing that. So I didn't.
Max, on sadder news, this coronavirus is devastating for the travel industry, and that's going to roll on. You predicted this, didn't you?
Yeah, I sort of got wind of it in early December, then, of course, it hit in December and January, and I told the travel industry this in about January, early January, saying this is going to be absolutely huge. Mm-hmm. I probably had one or two negatives from the travel industry saying, oh, Max, you're overreacting, and I actually predicted it in the national media, global media reports and stuff, that I would say to them then and there in January, I said this, and also in February, that this is going to be bigger than SARS, bigger than Iraqi wars, Bali 1, Bali 2, the pilot strike, ANSET, TWA, and Pan Am. I've been around long enough since 1978, and I predicted that, and I still predict that it is going to be the largest thing that's ever happened to our industry.
All of those were difficult for the industry.
Absolutely. Mm. And we went through it all. We survived it at Axis Travel, and I think that the problem we've got now is I think there's three things that come into these elements. And the first one is that it's an unknown quantity by the medical profession and travel agents and everybody in business. Nobody knows how to stop it. There's no antivirus as we talk today, March 2020. Number two, it's come out of a country called China, the largest economy, the biggest business in the world, and it's the first time in the history that I've ever noticed in travel in particular, they've been able to close down a city absolutely totally for 11 million people, close the borders and the ports. That's never been done before. Mm-hmm. And the third part is it's just going to show the rest of the world that China has coughed and we're all feeling the consequences.
Indeed.
Nobody really knew how big it was in commerce, in travel, in the supply chain, and that's why it's just so big. We still do not know, March the 10th, 2020, we still don't know how to stop it. And that's the scary part of traveling. You don't know how to stop it. And is it going to multiply? We haven't seen the end of it. And I'd hate to be pessimistic. I think there's a couple of more weeks to go before anything happens. And that is the scary part in the travel and tourism industry.
What do you mean happen? What will happen?
Well, logically, they're going to have to try and find some antivirus, if you want to call it that, whatever.
But and they I think that's ages away.
Yeah, look, you know, my concern is I've got a lot of my clients who are doctors and professors in medicine, and I don't believe the WHO, and I stand corrected on this, I don't think they've got a separate committee or a database where everybody in the world who's in that profession can feed into it and come up with some form of mythology whereby, hey, guys, I think something in Austria, they found something in Austria or Germany or CSIRO in Australia who is totally underfunded. And they should just get their act together and say, guys, well, let's lead the pack. Let's not sit back and put out memos and memorandums and all these things, which we're getting every second here in the travel industry. Get your act together if they haven't got their act together, that is, and make it happen.
Most concerned, I mean, not only the health risk, Max, but the risk on casual workers who have to go into self-isolation. Now, there's a lot of people in hospitality who are affected by this.
Yep.
And the government, you know, we get to hear quite from the federal government what it will do to compensate these people. But that's very tricky.
And the self-employed too, Peter.
And the self-employed, quite. Yes,
absolutely.
Right. Mm.
And our industry is, so what, small business, South Australia, what, 90% of our businesses in South Australia in particular, small business, my concern is that, you know, yes, certainly we're going to go through this. I think it's going to be a couple of months to try to handle it, but I don't really know in our industry whether those travel industry partners, be it suppliers, wholesalers, hoteliers, travel agents, airlines, are going to be able to survive 2 or 3 months without some form of assistance, or putting their staff off with no pay, which is happening right now in our industry. What's going to happen at the end of the day? We don't know how many months away, and that's what I said, as I said in the opening. That's the number one concern. We do not know how to stop this. And people say sometimes, you know, you actually stay in the heat and it's going to be easier when it's summer and it's going to be harder when it's winter. That's not even a proven fact, so we don't know when it's going
to
stop.
All this, of course, goes to prove, and I'm a great believer in travel agents. I wouldn't, excuse me, I've occasionally booked a hotel myself, but I wouldn't dream of going anywhere overseas without a travel agent.
Yep.
And indeed, even because, as I've always said, Max, if something goes wrong, and it often does, you've got no one to blame. You've got no one to turn to, have you?
And also the travel agency has, say, for example, the 7 components in a travel itinerary, be it, say, flights, transfers, rental car, tour, cruise, whatever it might be, hotel. If you've got one phone call to a travel agent, not only can they assist you, and they have to legally assist you if they're members of AFTA and ATAS, then they have to assist you all the way through from the beginning to the end. And also, something like we do at Access, I just pick up the phone and get a favour done by a tour company, a hotel manager, or an airline manager. That can also push the envelope, because you can't do that as an individual.
Exactly.
As an agency's got that push, and I agree with you. I think that's where it's going to come through. Then you've got travel insurance too, whether or not that's going to protect people, Peter.
And it's going to go up.
Oh, enormously. We've had the bushfires, now we've got this.
Yeah.
So I can see what's going to happen. The premiums for house, car, travel is going to absolutely skyrocket, and that's going to be a real problem too.
And why anyone would dream of going overseas without it is beyond me.
We've already got people contacting me about that, Peter, and they've gone, they booked their travel without it. They bought those El Cheapo airfares. They're not going to get a refund, basically, unless the airline agrees that they will, and they're going to be by themselves, and that's another problem.
Oh, dear. Because you can, you know, if you're ill, you can cancel and get a refund, can't
yes,
you?
Yes, if you're ill, you have to provide all the evidence. There's only one policy in the market which people talk about. It's called the one that's called CFAR, cancel for any reason. That's the only insurance policy I've noticed in our company that has been able to assist people. And it gives you up to 75% of what you've paid back, up to a certain limitation as well. And if you've got the right policy and you've ticked all the boxes, then that's the only policy that I know that has actually going to assist people at the moment, because the others are just turning away and not going to help.
It's going to hurt the cruise industry surely first, because you're contained. You know, we've seen that with the norovirus, which is frequent on cruise ships.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as bad as it once was.
But you know, they're doing everything they can to help. And I think the media needs to get on side with, for example, the Diamond Princess. They were, you know, off the coast of Japan, Tokyo. And, for example, they have spent something like $18 to $20 million, you know, assisting people, doing their health, bringing in food and drinks. And I think that, you know, that's an accolade to them. They've done everything they can in their power to do so.
Yes, indeed.
And that's been really, really cool about that. So I think that's really important that we do that. I think people need to probably look very carefully now with what's happening with Smart Traveller. We get our information from them and all the other departments in the WHO, and you put them all together to find out whether or not it's worthy of travelling in the month of March or April. But you've got to look at each one as a separate component and see what cancellation charges there may or may not be.
You must have a lot of customers, clients rather, who are saying, look, we're booked to go in June, July, you know, in the European summer. And we'll just wait and see.
Wait and see is the only way to do it. If you voluntarily pull out at the moment, you'll be up for all the cancellation amendment fees and stuff like that, unless the airline agrees or the hotel tour company agree otherwise. So yeah, don't voluntarily pull out if you're going in the month of March or April. Just see what happens. Go with the flow. If you book through a really good travel agent, just give them a contact. Let them keep you up to date as to what's happening, what is not happening out there. That is so critical at the moment. But don't voluntarily think you can pull out, because if you do, in most cases, you will not get a money back at all. So you've got to be very careful about that area.
I see today a story that Turkey is totally virus coronavirus free.
As we talk, if you believe the government reports.
Well, I think it's World Health Organization.
Yeah, but the WHO gets reports from each individual government, and they take those reports as gospel.
Yep.
And I would suggest to you, even if we go right back to December, it was the beginning of December that I knew something was happening in Wuhan. I saw a video from a Chinese lady who just came out of Wuhan. She showed me this video on her phone, and I said, what's this? And she goes, I took my mum to the Wuhan hospital, and there's all this chaos in this hospital, beds all over the place, people screaming. I said, what did you go to the hospital for? She said, to get some tablets for my mother. And it was early December when I saw this on her iPhone, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And I didn't really think much of it on that day. And then, of course, straight after that, we hear about mid to end of December. And I think there's a lot of things that we haven't heard in the media, and we'll probably get to hear it in another year's time if we're lucky. Mm.
Well, it's a watching brief.
It is, absolutely.
Yes, but I suppose, so what would you say to travellers? What would you say to travel agents?
I would say if you're a traveller and you are going in March, April, you've probably already got some form of consequence whereby the airlines, the hotels, the tour companies and the cruisers have advised you that you're okay, you can change or amend. Most are doing that with the travel agency's assistance. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go in the month of, say, even May, June, July onwards, I'd say sit back. Do not voluntarily cancel unless you've got a decent insurance policy that allows you to do so. Mm-hmm. And just sit back and see what happens. It's every 2 weeks we're getting different reports. Today, the latest report we got from Qatar Airlines is not a good one, whereby they won't even allow you to do a stopover in Doha. You've got to go all the way through, and we believe they may even stop transit passengers totally. And they're the type of things that are coming out. Every couple of hours, they're changing the spots. But stay in contact with your travel agent, and if you've done your bookings online, well, good luck to you. But if you've done it through your travel agent, get them to do all the work and get them to respond back to you, because that is part of what they have to do as a business.
Well, we're thinking of your industry, Max.
Thank you, Peter.
All the best to you, Max.
Thank you very much.
Travel industry leader. On you, Max. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here on ABC Radio Adelaide, it's 7:26.